This morning, our scripture reading is John 6, 1 through 15. John 6, 1 through 15. Before we read the scripture, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to give us the understanding he wants each of us to have pinpointed to our need this morning. Our great Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, you who shepherded thousands of people by declaring you were their personal and only bread of life that could bring satisfaction to their souls, teach us in this passage that your grace, found through trust in you alone, is the only grace that can ever satisfy our need and longing for personal fellowship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from God's Word, John 6, 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. As we celebrate Jesus Christ's faithfulness through 20 years of ministry, let us cling to the Lord Jesus Christ in our frailty and our weakness as the one who displays his power through our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says these words, "We have this treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels," or crackpots. You know, you're a crackpot. So am I. "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, the passage we just read in John 6, 1 through 15, teaches us that Jesus Christ is the only one who is able to meet our deepest spiritual longings and spiritual needs. And until we find in Jesus Christ our bread, confessing that we are helpless and hopeless apart from him, and rest in him, we will be ever searching in this world for longing and meaning and never able to find it, because it is found in Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the bread of life because he went to the cross of Calvary and he died to free us from the spiritual bondage of our sin and from the guilt of sin that separates us from God. Jesus Christ is the bread of life because he guides us safely to God's heaven, where you will be fully satisfied in every way on that day. But he is your bread of life today, because as you feed on him and his promises, he gives you strength and energy to live for him. So Jesus Christ declares in this passage, I am the bread of life. Do you know, to feed on Jesus Christ, he first creates a deep hunger within us to know him. And we are overcome with our sense of need for a personal relationship with him. He satisfies our hunger through the grace of forgiveness and reconciliation with him. But throughout our Christian lives, isn't it true that the more we're satisfied in Christ, the more hungry we get? Because we want more of him. And the more we have more of him, the more energy we have to live for him. That's what the Christian life is. When my wife and daughters make brownies or something tasty, I eat one, but I want more. And it's that way spiritually. The more we feed on Christ, the more we want him. So on a 20th anniversary, let us long for more of Jesus. There's a story told. This is a story. It's written by Rusty Stevens, who's a Navigators director out in Virginia Beach. And he tells the story. I was feverishly pushing, he said, the lawnmower, trying to get the lawn mowed before dinner. I'm sure some of you at least can relate to that. And as I was pushing the lawnmower, my six-year-old son, Mikey, without asking, stepped right in front of me and grabbed the handle. And so I, of course, stopped it, and it slowed to a stop. He wanted to help me. And he said, I chuckled to myself because there's no way he could push this lawnmower and really help me. And I resisted the temptation to say, son, please get out of the way. I want to finish this before dinner. He wanted to help me. So what he did was he let his son hold the handles. He held the handles of a lawnmower, spread his leg, bowed his back, and pushed the lawnmower. And with tears streaming down his eyes, he was reminded that this is what God has given him the privilege to do. And that is that Jesus came into this world seeking and saving and transforming the lost. And the Lord could do it without us very easily. But he has chosen to indwell us with his Holy Spirit to enable us to be co-laborers serving in his strength, ministering by his grace. And do you know, this passage is about how Jesus, the bread of life, was teaching his disciples a lesson on how he was preparing them to minister the grace of Jesus Christ in the world. And so I wanted to speak about that this morning from this passage, because serving in the strength of Jesus Christ, being co-laborers with Christ, is what this ministry is all about. That's what any ministry is all about, to glorify Jesus Christ, who builds his church by partnering in ministry with him and each other. In other words, Jesus calls us to be his hands and his hearts in this world because he fills our lives with the Holy Spirit. He releases his power through our weakness. What a privilege. So 3 points: compassion, calling, consecration. Compassion of Christ is our motive. So the first strengthening truth we see in this passage is the compassion of Christ is our motive. What is to be our chief motive for serving Jesus Christ, for loving one another, for loving whoever it is that God intersects on our pathway? It is to glorify God by loving Jesus Christ and loving others as the source and strength of ministry. Now, Jesus' attitude towards this crowd that perhaps numbered 15,000, because you got 5,000 men, and it's likely that they brought their wives and children, so it could have been as high as 15,000. But there's a great contrast between Jesus and his disciples. All through his earthly ministry, Jesus showed compassion. He was perfect in compassion, the way he is perfect in all the other attributes, faithfulness and justice and righteousness. So all through his life, Jesus was motivated by compassion. He saw people scattered like sheep, flayed and wounded and bruised like sheep who had fallen into a pit or into thorns. And Jesus Christ drew them to himself and shepherded them spiritually, healing their bruises and spiritual wounds by his all-sufficiency as the bread of life. Jesus saw people as not knowing God, ignorant of God, and Jesus taught for them and demonstrated for them the truth that is in God. Jesus saw people dead, unable to respond to God, and he renewed them spiritually as he renewed you if you have life in Jesus this morning. So Jesus responded to the needs of all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. And there's a striking contrast here between the attitude of the disciples and Jesus Christ. The disciples say, just send them away. Just let them go. The disciples' indifference is intended to be contrasted with Christ's great compassion for people who needed to hear his message that he is their bread of life. Luke tells us in Luke 9, verse 12, and you can read that account of the same miracle later on, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are in a desolate place. This is the attitude that followers of Christ often have toward the needy. And I thank God that it has not been the attitude of this congregation. It's their fault. They've come without food. Let them go into the countryside and try and find some. Or they're responsible for their own problems in life. Let them go. They're on their own. We want nothing to do with their problems. Jesus' answer to them, to his disciples, was, look at these sheep, maybe 15,000, who have followed me. Yes, because they're looking for food and miracles. But their real need is they are lost spiritually. They do not know me. They're headed towards an eternity apart from me in hell. And I want to feed them. Because if they don't go into the countryside, they have to stay here and see that I am the bread of life and hear the message of salvation. We recognize that we need to be discerning. There are some churches, yes, that are so occupied with social concern because they do not believe in a genuine gospel, that that's all they have. And our primary responsibility is to advance the kingdom of God's grace in proclaiming the gospel to those who need to be reconciled to God. The greatest need you have today is to be reconciled with Almighty God. Listen, no one is so good that they do not need to be saved through Christ. And no one is so bad that they cannot be saved through Jesus Christ. That is our greatest need. And that's why this church exists. It exists for the glory of God because God's chosen to build this church on faithfulness to the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim that gospel as a lighthouse in the midst of darkness. But we must have compassion when we do it. We ought to. Because we all were once alienated and God brought us into his family. We were all once dead and Jesus made us alive. We were all once guilty of sin and headed towards an eternity without him. And God had mercy on us. So extend it freely to others. But we are also called to meet the needs of people in all kinds of situations and all kinds of needs. Jesus spoke the word of God with compassion. He also did kindness. He meets the needs of these people. We are called to do both. What is compassion? It's tender-hearted love towards other people. It's a heart of pity. It's a heart of tenderness that sees others hurting and bruised and needy and then concretely comes alongside to help them. So let us, by the power of Christ's compassion, be motivated with the same kind of love that caused Christ to be broken on the cross in bearing our sin out of compassion for you and me. Let us look at other people who God brings into our life, into our midst. If they have a need, it's an opportunity to demonstrate the compassion of Christ. To those in the pathway of life who we meet, let us be kind and compassionate in whatever way we can, as we would want them to be to us if we had a need. We should be, when we're giving out kindness, more kind than we think we need to be. Because the person needs it more than we will ever know. The disciples were focused on themselves like we can be indifferent. Faced with so great a need, feeding all these people, I'm sure they were ready to give up. What resources do we have? We've been there. What did Jesus say? You give them something to eat, Jesus said. You give them something to eat. This is our motive for life and ministry. Feeding other people with the Word of God, feeding others with the compassion of Christ, asking God to send people into the lives of those who don't know Jesus to share the gospel, but being ready to do so ourselves. This is the challenge before us, to be compassionate. Jesus said, or the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2, don't look out only for your own interest. Look out for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind, I pray that prayer every morning. Lord, in every circumstance and situation, may the mind of Christ fill me to be a servant. Without prejudice, beyond religious, cultural, and racial lines. How do we meet that challenge? Let us make it our ambition to study the life of Jesus Christ, to spend time with him, to listen to him, to hear his word, to pray that the Spirit will enable us to imitate his life, and let us thank God for Jesus' compassion in bearing our sin. For the more we do that, the more the compassion of Christ will instill us and be instilled in us and serve through us. Second, there's the calling of Christ. Now, let's give an example of the kind of sovereign compassion Christ had that would give us encouragement this morning. You know, just before entering Jerusalem, the cross, just before entering Jerusalem to go to the cross, there was a blind man who cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you would think naturally from a human perspective, Jesus would have been so absorbed with the horrific ordeal awaiting him that he would have no time to stop for this poor blind beggar. But Jesus stopped and Jesus healed him. That is a key, such an important word. As we thank God for what he has done for us and look forward to the future. Stop. We're too busy. And we need to stop and call on Jesus for his grace to fulfill the calling to be his hearts and hands in the world. Stop. To see that person in need. Stop. You had an agenda at the beginning of the day and someone interrupts that? That's Jesus speaking. Stop. And give that person accessibility. Make yourself available. Stop. Jesus was not too gripped by the cross to stop and care. He healed that blind man. You know, Jesus is never too busy for you to call on him. I pray that we will all call on him this morning as we celebrate his supper. And that we would call on him for a renewed cleansing of sin. That we would call on him to meet us in our neediness, that we would call on him to be equipped to follow and serve him. Jesus is never too busy for us. Look at verses 35 and 36. In John 6, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have not seen me, and yet you do not believe." I want to encourage us this morning as we look at ministry in a world in which people have become increasingly hardened by sin, living in darkness. You notice in this passage that Jesus Christ has performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And that as we get to verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." The people have kept following Christ after the miracle of their being satisfied on 5 loaves and 2 fishes, not because they're believing in Jesus, but because they're after more food. They're after more physical healing. Jesus says, you've seen and yet you've not believed. This is a great example of what the scriptures speak of our depravity, that men and women and boys and girls are so powerfully under the influence of evil that they neither can nor will come to Christ unaided by the sovereign grace of God. Jesus has spoken gloriously to them of the message of grace. "Come to me and I will satisfy your soul." Jesus has performed a miracle for them, feeding them. And ultimately he will go to the cross. And yet people rejected Jesus in his earthly ministry. But was Jesus depressed? Did Jesus give up? Was Jesus discouraged? No. Why? Look at the next verses. That's why. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Why was Jesus not depressed? Why was Jesus not discouraged? Because he is the perfect Son of God who recognized that God was sovereignly at work and that a people had been given to Jesus before the creation of the world as a priceless gift to him, and therefore those would come to Christ, guaranteeing fruitfulness in the sacrifice of his life on the cross. Don't be discouraged. Don't hold back. Pray for the lost. Witness to the gospel. Demonstrate the kindness of God. Because all of those whom God has chosen for himself, who have not yet come to him, actually yet, will come in time. And God will use this ministry too to draw them. Never give up. In fact, persevere in prayer, in witness, in love, in perseverance. You know, Jesus made this glorious covenant with his Father in eternity past. "All that the Father has given to me," past tense, "will come to me." And the condition was that Jesus come and die for those God had given him. This church is made up of people saved by sovereign grace who are a priceless gift of God. This is not a human institution. It's made up of people redeemed by grace, but we are a holy community for God. Notice this boy with the fish and the loaves. You know, the disciples, Andrew brings this boy and says, "Here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but how far can this go?" Now, just as an this is an interesting addition to the passage that I think is meaningful. Actually, Philip, Peter, and Andrew were from the area where this miracle took place. So they probably knew there weren't any resources around, other than surrounding villages. And Jesus just says, you feed them to test them. How far can this go? And then Andrew brings this boy who does the right thing. He gives Jesus his loaves and his fish. We are to place in Jesus Christ's hands that which he's given us, that which we are, and we are to trust that he will distribute the abundance of what we give to him to bless the lives of others. That's not in our control. That's in God's control. Lord, take my heart, take my hands, and use them as you will, for I place them in your hands. That's what Jesus is seeking to teach his disciples, laying everything before Christ. The boy did not have much, but what he had, he gave to Jesus. Story teaches two very important things. Number one, there is no problem too big for the power and love of Christ. Number two, there is no one too small that God cannot use them. God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And then last, consecration to God. Consecrate yourself to Christ because he always provides. Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks. Then he broke the loaves, we're told in Luke, just like his body at the Last Supper, he says, would be broken. It's the same word. Same word when Luke says Jesus broke the loaves and distributed them. Same word as in the Lord's Supper. This is my body broken for you. Jesus is God's provision of salvation this morning. The reason we can have confidence as we consecrate ourselves to God is that Jesus Christ laid down his life for you, for me. So every grace needed for us to continue to be faithful to him, Christ will give us. Do not measure what is possible by your poverty, but rather by the power, compassion, and grace of Jesus Christ. God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. The boy gave 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So often, the thing that really gets in the way of ministry is our unwillingness to give ourselves to Jesus, not his willingness to act. Trust in Jesus Christ. Let our obstacles and weaknesses drive us to him. They're there to teach us our weakness and need for Christ. So what is our mode of compassion? What is our calling to place everything in his hands because he's chosen us for salvation, though there's nothing in us that would commend us to him? Aren't you encouraged by that? He chose you because he loved you. End of the matter. And consecrate yourself to Jesus Christ, stepping out with a bold faith in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that these words spoken would only bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, build our faith through this message. Use us as a compassionate people. Enable us to be faithful to the call you've given us and to simply offer our lives on your altar as a sacrifice of love because you first loved us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.